To the Samuel Proctor Oral History Program podcast, where you will hear firsthand accounts of remarkable times. I'm Danielle Navaretti, and I'll be your host today. Oral histories are less censored and more authentic than other third-party reviews. These are fascinating stories of struggle and progress recounted by the very people who were there, taking part in all kinds of historical events. Established at the University of Florida in 1967, the Samuel Proctor Oral History Program has completed over 4,000 interviews, making it one of the largest oral history collections in the United States. These interviews were collected from many walks of life, and in an effort to keep their stories alive, this podcast will bring their voices to you. Each episode will feature one recorded interview from our collection. Listen closely as these storytellers share their experiences and feel a stronger connection to the history we all share. In the spirit of Black History Month, our third featured interview recalls the experience of Rosa B. Williams, a leading community activist in Gainesville, Florida. The Union Academy Rosa B. Williams Recreation Center was named in her honor for her service to the community, and Ms. Williams also received a key to the city in 2006. Her interview was taken by Joelle Buchanan in 1984. In the following segment, Ms. Williams talks about civil rights activities in Gainesville, the progress of race relations, and the importance of getting out to vote.
Tell me about some of the activities that was happening during the 50s and the 60s when you first got involved in the black-white causes.
We had a lot of picket lines going on around here in town. We also had a lot of whites camping us. We were sent a black to apply for a job, and they told that black that that job was taken and it wasn't no job. Then one of the whites would go in, and they would get the job, and then we would start, you know, we would start picking that place and seeing just what we could do about it. We did not bother with anybody who was out there for foolishness just to fight, because we was right serious down to business. And if the University of Florida professors and their wife had not came out to help us, I don't know what we would have did. We was on picket lines to Gaza. We went to eating places trying to integrate that. And I think with their help and with a small group of black people's help, the Maine to Murphy's was the first one what decided to integrate his county. And Byron Wynn at that time ran for city commission seat, and he decided to integrate the Primrose Inn. And when he did that, those white businessmen of town told him that they would break his back for that, which they really did. You know, they ruined him here in this town.
Oh, did they?
Yeah, because they never forgive him for that integration. And see, he won a seat on the with the black folks the night of the city election, you know, and let people be uptown and everywhere. But he was over there to the hall over there that was in the old building at that time, the Masonic Hall. He was up there with us because the white, you know, uptown people that were so mad with him, but the University of Florida community really hope us real good. And what some people don't understand that because black people have good jobs and things these days and a nice home and cars and all like that, they think everything is fine. But in a way, it's worse now than it was before, because back during that time, we was looking for things and we was more aware of things. And because we have gained some people that tend to sit down and forget about it. They made it up. They forget about the other person. But back during that time, everybody was out there fighting for everybody.
Can you recall some of the places that you all picket?
We picket the College Inn most of all. And this place down there across from Sears, down there, I can't think of that place name. And the Waffle Shop over there, we picket that place. And the Pinson Store Town, I remember those places.
Was there ever any time that, you know, in reading about the 60s, you see about the fire hose and the policemen being the people.
We never had that right here. One night over there in the Waffle Shop, I don't know who the black peoples was, because they was not with our group. But anyway, that was one of the worst places. They went inside there and they put out the lights and threw black coffee, no hot coffee on them. the youth NAACP, I think, had a little run-in down here with the people at the place down here on 13th Street. Mm-hmm. But we never had that, you know, the people come out and take our pictures and ask us to leave, but we did not leave.
When you say the group, what group are you talking about?
NAACP.
NAACP. Mm-hmm. Well, as being involved in all these activities, did you ever go to jail?
No. We was a bunch of us was taken down one night when Martin Luther King got killed, and we had a rally to Mount Common, and then we marched from Mount Common to 13th the university, from university to the Cold High Square, and we got up there. Something was set down in the road about 10, and the police were taking those people down. At that time, you know, was up to lock them up at the jailhouse here. So we all decided that we was going to go with, make them take all of us down. And it was about, it was over 1,000 of us up there. And then what could not, the police could not just take, we all went and sat in the rows. So they didn't know what to do with us all. They didn't have any room for the women in the men's boat. So they let us all go. And now we wouldn't go, not till the other people got out.
I see. Mm-hmm. I see. Being involved in the civil rights activities, was your life ever threatened?
No, I've gotten more phone calls lately since, you know, not during that time. The phone calls I've gotten was after all that was over, say about the last 5 years.
I see. Mm-hmm. But Rosa, being involved in all the civil rights activities, what was things like for black people back in those days, back in the 40s and the 50s? Can you remember?
Mm-hmm. It was, if as long as you was good and say yes, ma'am, and no, ma'am, to certain people, certain white community people, you was okay. But if you questioned anything, act like you was concerned about anything, then, you know, that's when the hell started flying, or you was one of them uppity niggas or something other like that.
So were you considered one of those uppity niggas?
At that time, yes.
I see.
Mm-hmm. But it's a way, you know, you can always get around that. Just go ahead on and ignore it. You know, they say something to them, let the people know, let them do what you're going to do. But here go again, as I say, we had the white community from the University of Florida, mm-hmm, behind us. And now everything what we have gained here, we really do owe that from the faculty, staff out there, and their wives from helping us, because we would have never gained it if it wasn't for them.
Have you seen a change?
I've seen a change in the way how things was around, you know, through integration. They opened up their water fountains, or not sitting in the back or sitting in the same room or going to the restaurant or motel room or the movies and things. But underneath the rub, things have gotten a little bit sometimes worse than it was back in those days, because back in those days, you know where the people stood at. I mean, there wasn't no question, you knew it.
Uh-huh.
But nowadays, you don't. You know, they write up a report of this is so beautiful, but behind the scenes, it's worse.
I see.
Mm-hmm.
All right, you mentioned previously that you were the first member of this and the first that. Mm-hmm. Can you tell me some other things you were involved in, that mm-hmm you were involved in?
At that time?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, the NAACP was one of them. The Gainesville Women's for Equal Rights was the pushing force behind the whole integration part right here in this town. And that was half black and half white. Now, at the time when I first joined that, some of the black teachers around here, because it was all, the other members was all white, University of Florida wives, and some of the black teachers around here who was a member at that time did not think I was good enough to be a member.
Oh, really?
And they refused to pick me up to take me to meetings. So one evening I called for one of them to pick me up. They told me that they wasn't going. If they was going, they probably would be late. So then our meeting place, the lady who was having the meeting, which was white, said, well, I'll come pick you up. So when she came pick me up and got back to the house about 20 minutes before the meeting, the same person I called was sitting there. And when they seen that I had the respect of the whites from that group, then they got real. But at that time, my feelings then was kind of hurted, and I did not want them to pick me up or take me, so I just let the white do it. I was involved in that, and then I was involved with getting the Junior Elks at that time organized the young people to get more involved in activities. And when I started to work at the community action agency, I got a lots of the community groups going on in the county areas as far as here in town. And we had recreation set up for the young people on the weekend in the old black schools, which they had closed down.
Uh-huh.
People from here in town would go out to help with the county will keep them open, and we had dances and things. Then I got interested in senior citizens. I went started doing shopping and things for them, you know, and helping them out and things like that.
So what has caused, what do you feel has caused people to have the respect for you that they have?
Because they know I am fair and I am honest, and I'm going to say what I'm going to say, and I'm going to do what I'm going to do, and that is just that. I think it's because they know I'm fair and I'm honest, and not just that.
It is said that if you want to get anything done in Gainesville, mm-hmm. with blacks, you need to see Rosa Williams. Mm-hmm. Why?
I think it's because to go back because the bulk of the blacks, they know I'm fair and I'm honest. And another thing is, I don't just go to them when I need them or when election time comes. I go to Willie Mae Hodge place, I go to Fletcher's place, I go to Lowe's Grill, I go to Mom Kitchen, I go over in Polders, I go anywhere. I don't just go, just say when I want them to do something uh-huh. for me. I go and I keep in touch. And you may see me sitting down there drinking in the backyard with some of them wine old, somebody was on drugs. You just may see me. I don't have my pick peoples who I'm right here all the time. And then when it's our election, well, I need somebody to go up to City Hall because I go running to these other people. I stay in touch. If something is going on, what they should be concerned about and is involved with them, I invite them, I call them, I send them word. It's up to them whether they want to participate or not.
So are you saying that you simply deal with both the little man on the street mm-hmm. and also the
mm-hmm.
teachers?
Mm-hmm.
So you have a dealing to work with both of them.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Well, how does those people that are important people appreciate or work with you deal with the little man?
They don't have any choice because I'm not going to change just to please them. And the true fact about it, you can depend on the little man more than you can some of these so-called important people. So this is one thing I found out when I was sick, when I had surgery on my foot at one time. I was on crutches, and I could not take water to my bed in the nighttime to take my medicine. Well, now, I could have had this house full of money, but that money wouldn't have did me any good. Just say it's taking water to the bed and coming inside here, giving me some food or something like that during uh-huh. that time. So money and prestige is not the important thing. It's the people's what you associate with and your friends. And you mostly get that. It's some people's, you know, wealthy people's and things, you know, in good places and have good jobs you can depend on. But if you really want something dead and everything, I need some help. It's the little people's all who have to do the cleanup. If you notice in the election, when you see them people out there knocking on doors, it's not those doctors and teachers of lawyers, and now you know that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It's the working class man mm-hmm. that does it. True. Mm-hmm. Rosie, on the political part, you're constantly involved in all the elections, mm-hmm. the elections now, when it's important. You've seen that it's turned around that now the black vote is
mm-hmm.
important.
Mm-hmm.
Why do you feel that it's important, and what have you done to help the people get the votes?
I go out and campaign for them. I call people to try to get them out to vote. My main thing is that black people need to start going to the poll. That's the whole thing. Burning down a building or going up there cussing them people out, you know, that don't mean nothing. The whole thing, everything is political. And if you let those political people know that you will see them at the poll the next go around, and those people who is interested in politics, they will learn to respect you, and they will learn to come out to see what you want and at least try to represent something what you want. Now, I'll tell people in a minute, you know, whether you vote for who I'm supporting or not, but just go to the poll and vote. Make mm-hmm. a habit of going to the poll and vote.
Joelle Buchanan conducted many more interviews on the black experience in this community, and we will continue to share them in this podcast leading up to our next public event on March 17th, Where We Stand in the Age of Barack Obama. Mr. Buchanan will be moderating the event in UF Smathers Library East. For free tickets, please call 392-7168. Don't forget to check us out at www.history.ufl.edu/oral. There you can learn more about what we do and how you can get involved, and you can also subscribe to this podcast. So thanks again for joining us today. Until next week, consider recording some memories of someone you know, for we are one community with many voices.